dependent origination. At Sahavati, Bhikkhu, I will teach you dependent for you. Listen to that and attend closely. I will speak. Yes, Venerable Sir. Those Bhikkhus replied. The Blessed One said, what Bhikkhu is dependent origination? With ignorance as condition, volitional formations come. Volitional formations as condition, consciousness. With common form as condition, the six sense bases. Sense bases as condition, contact. With feeling as condition, crave. With craving as condition, birth as condition, aging and death, sorrow, lamentation. Then Buddha analyzed this each part. What Bhikkhu is aging and death? The aging of various beings. They are growing old, brokenness of teeth, grayness of hair, wrinkling of skin, decline of degeneration of the faculties. This is called aging. Passing away of the various beings from the various order of beings. They are perishing, breakup, disappearance, mortality, death, completion of time, laying down of the carcass. This is called death. Together, called aging and death. What Bhikkhu is birth? The birth of the various beings into the various souls. They are being born, descent into the womb, product, gaining of the sense basis. This is called birth. But I would like to couple this one with certain characteristics that can found in Dhyakopadesa and Nettipakkarana. Each one of these things has got a characteristic. Over these 12, there are 12 linking over here. There are certain characteristics. So, the characteristic of the death is the interrupting the life faculty. In other words, in Sinhala, it's the Yendri Sindhina, Lakshana Kota Atteya. Then the birth has the characteristic of giving manifest existence to the category. So you can see that particular wording is sort of their manifestation of the aggregates inside that description. Yangi Hatagani Lakshana Kota Atteya. And what Bhikkhu is existence? There are these three kinds of existence. Sense sphere existence, form sphere existence, formless sphere existence. This is called existence. So this existence also has got characteristics. That is giving actual being to the name body and the form body. Nama Rupa. So that's the existence.
Giving actual?
Actual being to the name body and form body. Namakaya, Rupakaya, Ipadavim. Name body and form body. Name body is Namakaya. Form body is that form. Name and form.
Form is Rupa.
Form is that the four aggregates of, four great elements. So, so there are these three existences, that is the sense sphere, arm above, and then the form sphere, rupa, arupa, formless is arupa. So born into those planes, various planes. And what Bhikkhu is clinging? There are these four kinds of clinging. Clinging to sensual pleasure, amupadan, clinging to views, clinging to rules and vows, clinging to doctrine of self. That is Attavadu Padana. And then this Silabhata Paramasu Padana. And Dityu Padana. So those are the three.
The four sensual clinging pleasures is Kamupadana?
Sorry?
The first one, clinging to
Kamupadana. Clinging to sensual pleasure. Clinging to views. Clinging to vows. Clinging to doctrines of self. Attavadu Padana, Kama Upadana, Attavadu Padana, Ditti Upadana, and Silabhata Padana. And what Bhikkhu is craving? There are these six classes of craving. Craving for forms, craving for sounds, craving for odors, craving for taste, craving for tactile objects, craving for mental phenomena. They have eye, ear, nose, tongue, and the body, and the mind. So we see certain things, those forms, we cling to those, and then hear sounds, so there is this craving for those. this craving has characteristic of sticking fast. You know, it adheres to certain thing. Oh, in Sinhala, aramuni gali sitim. Lakshana kata atte. Papancha is, yes, papancha is coming in one direction. It's a one way of clinging to that one. The other one is actually because of this nandi, that is that you have some sort of a gratification about it. So there is this clinging. And what we call is feeling. There are these six classes of feeling. Feeling born of eye contact, feeling born of ear contact, feeling born of nose contact, feeling born of tongue contact, feeling born of body contact, feeling born of mind contact. So, aramuna vidhima lakshana kota atte. Aramuna vidhima lakshana, vedanava aramuna vidhima lakshana kota atte. Its characteristic of feeling is being co-essential. I will go through this one in separately in Sinhala, putting them together. And what bhikkhu is contact. There are these six classes of contact. Eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, mind contact. This is called contact. And this contact actually causes the concurrences of eye, form and consciousness. That is, chakku rupa ekvima lakshana kota atte. Because contact has, you know, making it together. And what we call are six sense bases. The eye base, the ear base, the nose base, the tongue base. This is actually it's not taking as eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind. It's taking as eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. That would do. But in Abhidhamma also it's going as. So what is the characteristic of these bases? Chakkuvadi indriya nischaya kirima lakshana kota atte. It actually determines which one is it. You know that let's say that we are here and listening to Dhamma, and then someone actually opening that door over there. We turn our head, so body become active, you know, to do that. I become active onto that. So we don't try to smell the person coming like a dog. Dog behave differently, try to smell. So ear is active over here. And you know, doing opening a door will cause that sort of thing. So you can see that it determines which one to be activated at the time. And actually, we are not actually hearing and seeing the same time. You see, at that time, you are not actually perceiving the sound. Sound is different. And what we call is name and form. Feeling, perception, volitional form, volition, contact, and attention. This is called the name. The four great elements and the form derived from the four great elements, this is called form. Thus this name and this form are to be the called name and form.
But it's very different.
Attention is manasikara.
Yeah.
Contact is pasha. Sankara is volition.
Nama means rupa vedana sanya.
No.
Vedana sanya sankara vinyana.
No. Don't get confused about the five aggregates of clinging. Five aggregates of clinging has got matter. And then you have feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. That's some people get mixed up with that to name. Name is different in the sense there are certain parts common, like feeling is common.
Yeah.
And the perception is common. And the volition is common. And the consciousness is not here, but these things won't arise without consciousness. Consciousness is there, but what is significant in coming through this thing, with this showing what is significant at the. So we need the attention. You know, if someone is actually coming from the door, you know, we turn, so there is some sort of a attention to that one. So we switch between these. Actually, the attention is the one actually making this going to the this base, that base, this base, that base, sort of thing. And what bhikkhu is consciousness. There are these six classes of consciousness. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness and mind consciousness. This is called consciousness. So This one has got a characteristic called causing occurrence by opening the way of reappearance. That is, ipadima lakshane kota atte. The consciousness has got ipadima lakshane kota atte. And what we call are the volitional formations. There are these three kinds of volitional formations. The bodily volitional formation, the verbal volitional formation, and mental volitional formation. These are called volitional formation. And the characteristic of this one is developing renewal of existence. Abhisanskaran lakshan. So it's actually a volitional formation, actually construct. That's a very, very bad thing in the five aggregates of clinging, is this volitional formation. Said in one discourse, the volitional formation construct condition form as form, condition feeling as feeling, condition perception as perception, conditional volitional formation, volitional formation, condition really deep in meaning, sankatang abhisankarum in Pali. Nala sakaskarupude navat sakaskarum. You know, so very easy to understand, but in English it's actually bhikkhu condition thing as this thing is not actually properly understood. If you say sankatanga abhisankarunti sakaskarupude navat sakaskarunu, that gives the meaning. So for the same food that you see another day, so you get the perception that color and the shape and all those things are right. So having seen that wrong, and then our volitional formation would construct that this is the food that I...
Similarly, so this happens through aging too, I mean, isn't it? Because when a baby is born...
We teach the baby.
Yeah, at that time there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
And that through the aging period.
Yeah, right? Because the father teaches, mother teaches, mm-hmm. and the others teaches, so that...
Not only that, also the self...
The others introduce that. Mm. Somebody else is...
Someone has to give it.
Yeah.
And then that person actually perceiving it, and then those things internally develop depending on the characteristics. So this is the bad part. You know, it's so bad. So we introduce a man, a woman. So bhakti, a man and a woman. So that is coming up as a... So all the characteristics now comes in this way. So there is a perception. Depending on the perception, yata yata sanjanati tata tata voharati. How you actually perceive it, that's how you actually express that, what it is. So, having got that perception, and this volitional formation now constructed for us. You know, having a person, we construct, I like this person, I don't like this person. Okay? So, the clinging part, all those things, also constructed. Feeling is constructed. It's not that there is a person that he is actually perceiving. This is all those things are constructed. The consciousness is also constructed. That I see this. You know, we say, I see this. So, I is also constructed. I see this is also constructed. So, every very important step, understanding Buddhism about this volitional formation, what it does. So, abhisanskaran lakshana. And what we call is ignorance. Not knowing suffering. Not knowing the origin of suffering, not knowing the cessation of suffering, not knowing the way leading to the cessation of suffering. This is called ignorance. So ignorance has the characteristic of confusing the truth. Confusing, that's the characteristic. Mulavim lakshana. With bhikkhu, with ignorance as condition, volitional formations come to be with volitional formations. So now I actually go through this one. I went through certain English things, but English ones actually a bit difficult. The way the bhikkhu Nanamoli actually express it. Tanabandur Andurakpandu avidyava yatabhuto nodanim lakshane kota attiya. Means sanskarita asanna karana. So there are two things over here. This, there is characteristics, and then what it actually, asana karana, that is going to produce. Asana karana way. සංස්කාරයෝ කර්මායන සංඛ්‍යාත අභිසංස්කරණී ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තාය. ඉපදීන් සංඛ්‍යාත පුනර්භවයේ හට ගැනීම වැටහින් කොට ඇත්තාය. ඔහු කර්ම විඥාණයට පදත්තානි. පදත්තාන හිස් දතාසන කාරණේ. විඥාණයට පදත්තාන කා. විඥාණී රූපාදී වස්තුන්ගේ විඥාප්ති සහිත බව ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ ඒ නාම රූපයට පදත්තානි. ආසන්න කාරණේ හිස් දත්තා. නාම රූපේ වේදනාදී නොඑක් ධර්මයන්ගේ සම්නිශ්‍රේ ලක්ෂණේ කොට ඇත්තේ ඒ ෂඩායතනෙට පදත්තානි. ෂඩායතනෙ චක්කුවාදී ඉන්ද්‍රියන් නිශ්චය කිරීම ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ ඒ ස්පර්ශයට පදත්තානි. සෝ පස්සය චක්කු රූපාදීන්ගේ එක්වීම ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ ඒ වේදනාව පදත්තානි. වේදනාව චක්කු සංපාසාදී විඳීම ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ ඒ වේදනාව තණ්හාවට පදත්තානි. තෘෂ්ණාව රූපාදී අරමුණි බැසගෙන සිටීම ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ. සෝ බැහැගෙන ඉන්නවා. ඒ තණ්හාව උපාදානයට පදත්තානි. උපාදානය දැඩිව ගැනීම ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ. හෝල්ඩින්. ඒ භවයට පදත්තානි. භවය නානාගති පවුනෝවාලීම ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ. සී දැට්ට භවයේ තියෙනවා තන් බල්ල කරලා පොද්දන මනුස්සයා කරලා පොද්දන ඒ ගතියට පවත්නවා නේ leading to hell and born over there leading to animal world and so gati deva gati so bhave has got that
character. So is it why some apisara karma would what is the connection which one determines
well the karma. It's difficult to analyze karma, exactly say in this one, there are quite a lot leading to hell and animal realm. For example, killing, stealing, all those things, you know, sort of thing, will lead to either hell, animal realm, plane of departure, any one of them. And the very bad ones, like Sangha-beda, you know, the order, and kill father, mother. Definitely hell.
Yeah.
So those are the definite ones going into those Selavim, Udhahandram, like that. So Micha Adiva, you know, those right, wrong livelihood, mostly leading to a plane of departure, like, you know, the Sastra, you know, that sort of thing. And if you are cheating, for people, you know, by saying this, looking at those people who are born over there, what they are actually telling, I can't say exactly
which one
it is.
Yeah, why I ask is why some karma makes you a dog, but then a crow or something like that.
The karma is quite different. Upadana is the leading factor.
Upadana, because of the upadana, you actually create the karma. Ajosana. Kamehi samyutto viharati bhavito ajosana. That is, you are remain holding. So the upadana is there. So upadana is become a karma.
Yeah, that's right. That is the main factor to the next.
Upadana is the immediate to the bhava.
So that's right.
So that is
that's right. But karma, for example, of life in the next
that is the result.
Result.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the most powerful thing is that the upadana thing.
Now you're talking about
karma is volition.
Mm.
Okay, whatever the volition you have about these things. So upadana is actually karma as well. But because of the upadana, karma created. The volition created, right? So upadana was sort of precursor to the karma. If there was no upadana, then there wouldn't have been any karma. So having got that, then you have to deal with it. Having got the karma, so yeah.
Because there is an action, and then upadana makes the power.
Upadana makes the
karma
and
the bhava.
Yeah, both. So, upadana deliva ganima lakshana kota atte. E bhavayata padattana. Bhave nana gati paunuvalima lakshana kota atte. He jatiyata padattana. Jatiya skandayange pahalawima lakshana kota atte. ජාතිය ස්කන්ධයන්ගේ 15 when you read the first paragraph that's what the Buddha said over there පමමාන ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ මේ ජරාවට පදට්ටාණය ජරාව ඉන්ද්‍රිය පරිපාකයට පැමිණීම ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ you know these faculties go you know the eye ear nose tongue you can't read you need glass hearing and all those things ඕ මරණයට පදට්ටාණය ආසන්න කාරණේ මරණේ ආයු ජීවීමේ ජීවිත ඉන්ද්‍රිය සිඳීම ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ ඒ දුකට පදට්ටාණය දුක මරණේ දුක Now, how do you get that? You know, the death, because of the death, you have the dukkha, suffering, sadness, all those things comes. How? You have died.
You don't know where...
Something, that is by, before the thing.
You don't like to die, you
see? Think about it. After death, you don't have a body.
Yeah, you don't know where to be conceived.
You don't have a body. And you see all that, but that particular time, if you are actually sort of in a mind-made body, then you sort of see other people. It's a very pure state, the mind-made body state. You have done bad things, you go straight away to hell and all those things, and you know, I can't see how... that person, you know, is immediately born in hell, so immediately suffering, so there is that thing. Let's say that he is not born as in the hell, or not in the animal realm, you know, immediately you can see those suffering going there. And Pretaloka, you know, again you see, the, having been born, you see that suffering. Let's say you are not there, you know, you are either, you have not been born as a human being either, or about to be born. You are in a mind-made body, I know this one because I have been like that one and there are so many discourses I'm talking about. Now you see other people, all the other people got a body and you haven't got your house, you know, your body is not there. Other people eat, you don't eat, right? So you are in a so agitated state and in that particular one. And
after death?
After death. If you have not been born, you are in a pretty bad situation. Because you haven't got any, you are unsettled. You lost your body. You see others with the body. You don't have a body. Because before this discourse, actually, I was not even thinking about this one.
That means you can see.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Can hear.
You can see, you can hear, you can go here and there.
මොකද ඔය කියන්නේ අර ස්ටේජ් එකක්
මනෝකාය
so to get that stage also you have to have some sort of a kusala
otherwise you will be born as something sort of a thing okay I'm, that's why I explained that going to animal realm and all those things you die over here instant
animal maybe it can animal, just period so
like you are not waiting for those things because you are so bad.
You know what I'm saying is in the human realm, this is sort of a gestation period, like, you know.
Yeah, but you have been born over there in the sense that you have gone into the womb or something, the animal thing, so you have the animal type sort of thing. And here we are talking about a mind-made body person.
And so even human the same thing, animal.
Human is fine. But you might have gone to a human body, you are lucky, sort of thing. And mostly what I have seen is that people who are being born actually stay for 3 years.
Once you have decided, you can't see, you can't hear. They have decided, you have found body. A place. Yes. Yeah.
Well, in that case also, you actually you have the ability to go.
If you don't know.
Some people get into the mother's womb when the mother is weak and they are stressed, really holding. Okay. Some people go there and father and mother going to the temple, they are so happy. You know, the people who have done merits. When the father and mother go to the temple, they are happy. They like to stay. And when they have the parties, drinking you know, alcohol and things, they want to go. Because depending on the characteristic of the person, I know certain examples, go to the temple when you are pregnant, that sort of thing. They become happy and they have to stay. And even that 3 months thing, you know, dana, there is a time period. This is not actually in the Buddhism. They can sort of go from that body to attain the dana as well. When the four guardian gods protect that womb, they can actually, with that protection, they can go.
So that means, can they get merits at that stage?
Oh, they become happy. Not that merits sort of thing, I suppose, because they
can
can't
pass on merits to them.
Well, no, they if you are, since you are a human, you can't get the merits from that one. But you join the party, in the sense, you know, that this thing.
And, so if the mother doesn't want the baby, or get
an... Oh, it is killing. So, now, dukkha kaya pelima lakshana kota atte. Now, see what is actually happening. Now, he hasn't got a body. Now, kaya pelano. E domnasata padattane, domnasata hetu eno, asanna karane eno. You see that we say jati dukkha, jara dukkha, vyadi dukkha, marana dukkha, soka parideva dukkha domnasa. Now, in the temple, Mahakachana goes from dukkha domanasa soka parideva. You see, that is really related. Dukkha kaya peralima lakshana kota atte. Ye domnasata padattane. Because I don't have a body, now I am actually sort of, you know, unhappy. So I got the unhappiness, domnasa. Domnasa sita pelima lakshana kota atte. Sita pelano. Kaya pelano, sita pelano. Sit. E soketa padattane. Soketa asana karma. Soke soka kirima lakshana kota atte. Soka karakara inna. ඒ පරිදේවට වැළපීමට පදට්ටානි පරිදේව නම කියන්නේ පරිදේවේ වචන නිකුත් කිරීම ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ අනේ අම්මේ අනේ තාත්තේ කියනන්නේ කියලා ඒ පරිදේවේ උපායාසයට පදට්ටානි උපායාසයේ ආයාස කිරීම ලක්ෂණ කොට ඇත්තේ නෝ මෙහෙස වෙලා වැටෙන්න අර කලන්තේ දාලා වැටෙන්න මල වේවල නෙමෙයි so we are in a pretty bad shape after death and this upayasa actually lead to this birth as well, bhava. It's explained over here.
Dumnata is shoka.
Soke soka karano.
Soke dukha kya nikamana
nene? Nah, sadness kela itana gaane araka suffering. Dukha kya guham suffering. Soke guham sadness. But with the remainderless fading away and cessation of ignorance comes cessation of volitional formations. With the cessation of volitional formations, cessation of consciousness, cessation of name and form, cessation of name and form, cessation of six sense spaces, whole thing. I'm going to see. So the contemplation, if you are actually contemplating about paticca-samuppada, dependent origins, it's important that, you know, in one time you go through the other way. If yes. This one ceases, the other one ceases. Not just like a parrot going through that one, and you have to investigate, well, is that so? You know, if there is no existence, will there be a birth? If I have not accumulated any craving, you know, will there be any birth? So that's actually the end of that discourse. So now, there is this thorough investigation, and thus have I heard the one occasion, Blessed One was dwelling at Savatthi in Jetha's grove, Anathavindika's park. There the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhu, thus, bhikkhu, Venerable Sir, those bhikkhus replied, this Blessed One said, bhikkhu, when a bhikkhu is making thorough investigation, in what way should he thoroughly investigate for the utterly complete destruction of suffering? So think about that particular question yourself and try to find the answer. You know, how do we should be doing the thorough investigation? And Venerable Sir, our teaching are rooted in the Blessed One, guided by the Blessed One. Take recourse in the Blessed One. It would be good if the Blessed One would clear up the meaning of this statement. Having heard it from him, the bhikkhus will remember it. Then listen and attend closely. Bhikkhu, so I will speak. Yes, Venerable Sir. Here, Bhikkhu, when he makes a thorough investigation, the Bhikkhu thoroughly investigates thus the many diverse kinds of suffering that arise in the world, headed by aging and death. What is the source of this suffering? What is its origin? And what is it born and produced? When what exists, does aging and death come to be? When what does not exist, does aging and death not come to be? See, Buddha is not the thing, how we should be thinking about this one. We have quite a lot of suffering, you know, the aging, sickness, death and all those things. And how should we actually investigate this? We need to investigate that if there is aging and death, so that aging and death is the suffering. So what is the source of this one, origin? As he thoroughly investigates, he understands thus the many diverse kind of suffering that arise in the world, headed by aging and death. This suffering has birth as its source, birth as its origin. It is born and produced from birth. When there is birth, aging and death come to be. When there is no birth, aging and death does not come to be. Actually, you need to investigate this way. You know, when you are going through the Eightfold Path, you look at that birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, death is suffering, and so on. And then, so having known this suffering, you know, that is actually there. First, you need to admit that there is suffering by seeing it. If you have not seen it, don't admit it. No point. You should actually contemplate and see that there is suffering. For example, young children, they don't actually see. You know, if you actually pinpoint to them, you know, that they don't think otherwise about those things. They try to play. An adult should always think about it. You know, there is this aging, there is this sickness, there is this death. You know, is this suffering or not? First, you need to stamp it on that, whether it is, yes, it is suffering. If you see that it is suffering, then you need to look at what is the cause of this suffering. How is actually... So that Samadhi Bhavana Sutta, the concentration meditation, you know, one sees delight in form, welcomes it, remain whole in it, because of doing that one with this era, this birth come to be, that particular part actually playing a very big part over there. Then you actually see that because of this existence, bhava paccaya jati, because of this bhava, this aging and death comes because of the jati. Unless we are born, there is no aging and death. For someone to have the, you know, the aging and death, that person should have been born. Otherwise, there is no that problem. With the cessation of aging and death. So now he is looking at why I do have this birth. So then he actually investigates again. So birth, to make the birth, there must be something. So then one actually see that. So you actually go to the Paticchasamuppada yourself. Having heard this one, having run it through a couple of times, and then the week after or 2 weeks after, you are trying to do it yourself, what Buddha said, without going through his Buddha's formula. And then you actually see. He thoroughly investigates, he understands that many diverse kinds of suffering that arise in the world, headed by aging and death, this suffering has birth as its source, birth as its origin, born and produced from birth. He understands aging and death, its origin, its cessation. The way leading on that is in conformity with its cessation. He practices that way and conducts himself accordingly. This is called Bhikkhu, who is practicing for the utterly complete destruction of suffering, for the cessation of aging and death. So, having seen that this aging and death is caused by the birth, so he actually now works towards stopping it. Then investigate further. He thoroughly investigates thus, what is the source of this birth? What is its origin? From what is it born, produced? What is the source of existence? Clinging, craving, feeling, contact, sense basis, name and form, this consciousness. What of these original formations? What is their origin? From what are they born and produced? Then what exists, two original formations come to be? when one does not exist, volitional formation not come to be. As he thoroughly investigates, he understands thus, volitional formations have ignorance as their source, ignorance as their origin. They are born and produced from ignorance. When there is ignorance, volitional formations come to be. When there is no ignorance, he understands volitional formations, their origin, their cessation, and the way leading on that is the conformity with their cessation. He practices that way and conducts himself accordingly. This is called the bhikkhu, really complete destruction of suffering for the cessation of volitional formation. Bhikkhu, if a person immersed in ignorance, generate a meritorious volitional formation, consciousness pairs onto the meritorious. If he generate demeritorious volitional formation, consciousness pairs on the demeritorious. If he generates an imperturbable volitional formation, consciousness pairs onto the imperturbable. So, here we are talking about punyabhisankara, apunyabhisankara, and aninyabhisankara. Three kinds of sankara. We discussed this one before as well, but if I go through this one again, punyabhisankara is that dānavu, sīlemevu, bhāvanāvu, kāmāvacara, rūpāvacara, kusala chetana. Dandīn, kusala kiri. Apunyabhisankara, kāmāvacara, akusala chetana. Me apunyabhisankara. Apunyabhi. Kāmāvacara, akusala chetana. E aninjābhi sanskāre kavare. Arūpāvacara, kusala chetana. Me aninjābhi sanskāre kīngadhi. Arūpāvacara. So we are trying to be, you know, that the formless sphere, chan, you know, space is infinite, consciousness is infinite. Arūpāvacara, kusala chetana. So that is punyabhisankara.
Oh.
When you do punyabhisankara, you can be born in the kamavachara sphere, or you can be born in the Brahma world, where there is this the subtle body, Brahma world. But the other punyabhi is that only the formless sphere over there, arupavachara. ඒ කාය සංස්කාර කවරේද කාය සංචේතනාව කාය සංස්කාරය වාක් සංචේතනාව වාක් සංස්කාරය මනෝ සංචේතනාව චිත්ත සංකාරය මෝ අවිද්‍යාපත්තින් උපදන සංස්කාරයේ කියමුලයි but when a bhikkhu has abandoned ignorance and aroused true knowledge then with the fading away of ignorance and the arising of true knowledge he does not generate meritorious volitional formation or a demeritorious volitional formation or imperturbable volitional formation. Volitional. Imperturbable is that aninjābhi. Since he does not generate a fashion volitional formations, he does not cling to anything in the world. Not clinging, he is not agitated. Not being agitated, he personally attains nibbana. He understands, destroys birth. The whole life has been lived. What had to be done? Has been done. There is no more for this state of being. So that particular part is actually everyone from Arahant has got this statement. You know, Hina jati usitam brahmacharyam katam karaniya naparam attayati. No further birth. If he feels a pleasant feeling, he understands it is impermanent. He understands it is not held to. He understands it is not delighted. If he feels a painful feeling, he understands it is impermanent. He understand it is not held to. He understand it is not delighted to. If he feels neither painful nor pleasant feeling, he understand it is impermanent. He understood all these things, not to be delighted on those things. That this impermanent nature is seen in all these feelings, and he knows that I'm not clinging to. Basically, they have actually got rid of it, and paha karana ladi, paha kara siti.
Doesn't come back anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
So is it possible that someone become
someone is not someone
become arhat?
Yeah, he does not
know
that. No way. Yeah. When the other status, you know that attainments. There can be confusion regarding those objects, pleasurable objects, sort of thing. But he knows his attainment. If he so there was some confusions, some people, because of the ignorance, they actually sort of have declared that I am an Arahant, that's a different thing.
Yes. Yeah. But once somebody declare that, that means that if he actually an Arahant,
he knows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that he feels the difference. He knows the difference. So if he feels a pleasant feeling, he feels it detached. If he feels a painful feeling, he feels it detached. If he feels a neither painful nor pleasant feeling, he feels it detached. Visamyuktam. So sukham vedanam vediti visamyuktam. Vedanam vediti. When he feels a feeling terminating with the body, he understands, I feel a feeling terminating with the body. When he feels a feeling terminating with life, he understands, I feel a feeling terminating with life. With the breakup of this body, following the exhaustion of life, all that is felt, not being delighted in, will become cool right here. Merely, body remains, will be left. Kaya pariyantam vedana and jivita pariyantam vedana. So those are the two Pali words. So, and Buddha actually gave an example. Suppose a man would remove a hot clay pot from a potter's kiln and set it on smooth ground, its heat would dissipate right there, and pot's hurt would be left. So too, when he feels a feeling terminating with the body, terminating with the life, he understands. So you see, we have this warmth in the body, right? Now, we have the feeling, and we pass away, body will cool down, like the temperature. See, it's like that, whatever the feeling that because of the body, let's say you have a huge pain at the time of death also, or before, it is something to do with this body. And when this body passes away, it won't go further than that. That one has to understand that. Otherwise that one will be grumpy. You know, this pain and all those things that is coming up. And so Arahants don't have that one. They get only one dart. We get two darts. You know, Buddha said, the difference between an Arahant and a normal worldling is, what's the difference between two people? So a normal person affected by the bad thing, he get two darts. He get one dart here, and then to the same place, someone is sending another dart. So there was a physical pain, and he is now grumpy about it. You know, he's beating the breast and, you know, shouting and all those things. And so he get the mental pain. For an Arahant, it is only the physical one, no second dart. So that's the difference. So Arahants also feel the pain.
At the time of death, you mean?
No. Normally, when the time of death, one can feel. But there's no mental component in it.
Well, that one of the physical pain that he couldn't bear.
Mm. Yes. You know, that one Arahant was actually bitten by that snake. And so as other monks, take this body, the body out of this thing. And so other monks are asking, why are you telling this one? So he's actually carrying that pain. He does not want to die over there and being a burden to his body, being burned to one. And other monks actually took away, and then it's burst or something. So pain is there. Pain is there. Pass away without the pain. I mean, the human beings also, you know, some die in pain, some die while sleeping. So
can karma affect even
karma is there, yes.
Arahant?
No, for Arahants no karma. He has actually you are taking by the time of the death.
Yeah.
How do he pass away?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose yes. Because that, you know, there was one monk who was actually he was beaten. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think he passed away from that beating.
No,
he did not use his psychic power in that third time, that's all. But that one monk who can't, he's not getting any food. Hungry.
Okay.
He's not, because he has done a bad karma, he's hungry. So Venerable Sariputta saw that this monk is actually...
Yeah, that he dropped his food or...
Yeah.
Whenever somebody put anything to his path, so he cannot eat it, it drops...
drops it or other people don't give it to
him. Yes.
They actually see something inside eating. So this monk has got enough food, so they are not giving.
So he was attained.
He was an Arahant.
Yeah, he was an Arahant.
Yeah. So Venerable Sariputta hold this food for him, didn't give it to his hand, let him eat from his while he is holding it.
Just before he passed away.
Yes. And what do you think, Bhikkhu, can a Bhikkhu whose stains are destroyed generate a meritorious volitional formation or demeritorious volitional formation? Or imperturbable, punyavisankar, apunyavisankar, aninjavisankar, can he generate those things? No intervals. And there are no. Because you see that feeling, whatever the feeling is the one that actually creating these things, isn't it? There is no feeling, he actually understands these are impermanent things like that. He is not clinging to any of these, can't generate any of those things. There are no volitional formations. With the cessation of volitional formations, would consciousness be discerned? No interval, sir. When there is utterly no consciousness, with the cessation of consciousness, would name and form be discerned? No interval, sir. So similarly, this, all the other things, no feeling, no clinging, and all those things, exactly so, and not otherwise, place faith in me about this, Bhikkhu. Resolve on this, be free from perplexity and doubt about this. Just this is the end of suffering. And so we talk about ignorance quite a lot. I can actually tell you about this ignorance. Actually appearing in the Petaka Upadesa, owing to obsession of lust, it destroys all understanding's province. Rage madana laddi prajna gochare nasai. Prajna gochare is that all understanding's province. So we have raga, and because of that prajna gochare, so understanding is lost through four reasons. There are four reasons for not having this avidya. Avidyava satara karanekin prajnava nasai. There are four things. And that's the interesting part. So understanding is lost through four reasons. What are those four reasons? Underlying tendency. It's the first one. Anusaya. What is anusaya? Is that, when we have this... pleasurable feeling. So, underlying tendency is there for that pleasurable feeling. Sukavedanavaka raga anuse. Raga anuse sukavedanavaka. Dukavedanavaka patika anuse. Patika anuse. And adukkama sukavedanavaka avidya anuse. Avidya anuse. So, those are the three anusaya things, underlying tendencies.
Is this avidya anusaya means mohe?
Mohe. Yeah. Because you do not know, let's say pleasurable thing, that you actually cling to that one. Not knowing that one, you actually clinging to that. So tendency to attachment lies latent in the pleasurable feeling. When you come to displeasure feeling, you don't like it. So tendency to aversion lies latent in the displeasure feeling.
Dukkha vedanavaka abhyapadi.
Dukkha vedanavaka patika anusaya. So tendency to aversion lies latent in the displeasure feeling because you don't like it. Now when you get the neutral feeling, right, now I'm sitting down over here. So I am thinking, well, this chair is fine, okay. I'm not clinging, I'm not actually angry with that one. But if you are in an uncomfortable chair or something, then you react the different way, right? So what's the ignorance over here? Avidya anusaya is that you do not know that this is impermanent. This is fine, but somebody might take this chair. Avidya anusaya is there. So when we have this one underlying tendency, the four things I will mention. Underlying tendency is the first one. Second one is the manifest obsession. Manifest obsession. Pariyuttan. Pariyuttan. Pariyuttana. Third one is the fetter, sanyojana. Fourth one is the clinging, that is upadana. So, underlying tendency, manifest obsession, fetter and clinging. And then there is this formula given how it is from one, linking those four are linked. Anuseya pariyuttani upadavai. Anuseya pariyuttani upadavai. Underlying tendency, manifest the obsession. Pariyuttani uva sanyuktave. So when we have, you see, because when we have the anusaya, when we have this, let's take a pleasurable feeling. When there is a pleasurable feeling, tendency to attachment lies latent in that one. So when there is this tendency to attachment, so I am obsessed with that thing, that whatever the object that gives me pleasure. Okay, so that is manifested. I like this, I want this, all those things are manifested within self. And having that particular one, so one would actually live with, connected with that thing, whatever the things that give rise to pleasure. Samyukta, fetter, samyojana is the word. Pariyuttana uva samyuktave, samyukta uva upadana kare, samyojana itena upadana kare. So these four things actually create avidya, you know. So, this one actually not allowing one to understand the thing as it. Prajñāva nasana. You know, so those four. So, the example was that, with the pleasurable feeling.
Yeah.
That you get the, there is some sort of object. Let's take a food. Some sort of a delightful food. Having got that delightful food, so pleasure arises because of that food. So since there is pleasure, there is this underlying tendency to attachment to that food. I like it, I want it. You know, some also saying, you know, I like it, I want it. You know, they have this craving. So now he is actually obsessed with that one, that object. I mean, you can see drug addicts are actually obsessed with these things. You know, whatever drugs they are actually taking. And so he is now connected with that one. So whatever that food that over there, he is actually eating it, enjoying it, he wants it. For a drug addict, he actually do whatever wrong things to get that drug. You know, he is like to steal. So he is having obsessed, he actually live connected with that one. So samyojana is there. And since that he is living connected with that thing, so the upadana, clinging arises. He can't give it up. And it is happening to all of us in a certain way for certain things. And take a drug addict person, a smoking person, you can actually really visible. Even doctor says, give it up, you are going to die. He is still smoking. Whatever thing that gave pleasure is the one problem. So, because of that one, wisdom, that person who is drinking alcohol and things like that one, he is living delight in that one, live on that way. Wisdom will not arise for him.
Because of that, they don't want to understand.
Well, that's going two different ways.
Yeah.
Because he does not want to give up pleasure, he is not putting any effort, and even if he wants, he can't.
No, yes, that's because he has to stop it, otherwise it's a struggle.
Well, to stop it, he needs understanding.
Mm.
So, he's not putting any effort to, that's the only pleasure he knows.
Mm.
That's the problem. That's what Buddha said, that uninstructed person, worldly, he thinks that this is the way to get the pleasure. He does not know any other way, like, you know, attain to this dhyana and rapture and all those things. He does not know. So he thinks smoking and having that tiny little, you know, pleasure, although it's creating so much problems for him, he thinks that's the best thing. Now we get the rapture or something, then he will actually take those cigarettes and things. an fortunate situation, because that you can't teach him, you know, the drug addicts sort of persons, you can't actually, because they are addicted all the time in that way, you can't get them out of this one. So,
the other hand, like the other one, is that was about pleasurable feeling.
You are unhappy also, what do you do?
Find something pleasurable.
When you are unhappy, some people go and put the radio on. Drink. That's what they do. Buddha said that in one discourse. When you are unhappy, eat delight in pleasure.
It's like you are unhappy with one thing, but...
Always that's what it is. So, said that when he actually, when there is this pleasurable feeling, he so tendency to attachment lies latent in that one. So, because of that one, he aggregates of clinging, you know, goes up, you know, grow, and you know, sort of thing. And because of that dosa growing and things like that, then when those things cease, also he is very unhappy. The pleasure ceases, also unhappy. When he is unhappy, also he actually look for pleasure to get rid of the unhappiness. So, when he is unhappy, he beating the breast and, you know, sochati kilamati paridevati urattalingam kandati. He is sokakarana, all those things, and beating the breast, and that's what he does. And so, because of that one, again this five aggregates grows. And he is now, as a solution, he is looking for pleasure. And then again the five aggregates of clinging grows for him. And even he get the neutral feeling, it's the same, because he does not know the origin, passing away, cessation, satisfaction and danger in case of the neutral feeling. So ignorance grows over there. So either case, you can see, uninstructed person always, said in short, whatever thing felt is included in the suffering. Whatever thing felt, whether pleasure, displeasure, and the...
There is no escape
until you become an arahant, there is no escape. You at least, even the never returner will be born at least, you can't say at least once. Never return can be born more than. They are going to the Akanitta Brahma realm, not Akanitta Brahma realm. There are five Suddhavasa, you know, pure devotees. So he can actually go into the lower one. That is, let's say, Sudassi, or Atappa. So if he actually going there, then he actually reach towards the Akanitta, next birth or something. You see, there is one discourse, Buddha is saying this one. So, never return means they are not coming back to this world.
Never return means so on.
No, anagami. He is not returning to this world. That's all Buddha said. So, it has a sort of a confusion that he will be born only once. Many things that in that way. No, it is not so. It is that if he is actually born in Akanitta Brahma realm, then he is not going anywhere else, that he actually finished that one. Otherwise, he can be born in those five planes, Suddhavasa, and he is going down and then going towards the Akanitta. Then you can see, I mean, those pure ones that you don't... If you feel something, if you perceive something, it is suffering.
So in those worlds?
World, anywhere. Because it's a trouble. If you feel something, perceive something, because of the impermanent nature, it is suffering.
For pain?
Well, they do have the changing of the feeling is suffering for them. For us, changing of the matter is bigger suffering. You know that our body...
They don't have body.
They do have very subtle body. It's a mind, though. They are not actually suffering from the body, it's just the pain, the feeling. Because of the feeling, any planes has got a feeling, except the neither perception nor non-perception plane. Yeah, in that plane that you don't perceive. You might have a feeling, but you don't perceive that feeling. And they are living in the remainder of the volitional formation. No further formations are made in over there. It's just a one stable point. Reach it and live for 84,000 eons. Passing away, you do not know where you are going. No, they can't. Even over here, if you attain the plane of neither perception nor non-perception, you can't think. So whatever thing, if you see those discourses, Buddha says that that person also coming out of that meditation, perceiving the same way as the other meditation. He says one is going to the first jhana concentration, and then he sees that this matter, feeling, all those things are, you know, suffering, subject to suffering, impermanent. So the person who has actually attained neither perception nor non-perception plane, he is not actually thinking over there that this matter, feeling, all those things are suffering, anything like that, from, because he is not perceiving. So he comes out of it. It's like that you have a sleep, no dreams. Okay, no dreams, no sleep, but you are sort of aware in a sense. And you are not processing anything, although you are aware, not processing anything. And he comes out of it, like you are waking up out of your dream, sleep, a dreamless sleep. And after that, he actually sees the matter, feeling, all those things are suffering. No. After going to the neither person, first he got rid of the matter. Because he fed up with the matter, he got rid of that one. And he's a good person. He actually got rid of the space is infinite as well. I don't want that one. And then he got rid of feeling. And then he got rid of perception. So we perceive all five. He actually got rid of those things, and he is not perceiving even those things. Neither perception nor non-perception level. It's different to Nirodha Samapatti, where the cessation of feeling and perception all together. So, having...
So how can a person come to that state?
This meditation, you say that...
after death, like...
After death? Yeah. Well, you actually sort of attain that state while living, and then you pass away.
By meditating?
Well, maybe you are meditating, and by the time of meditating also you pass away.
Or just after coming from
meditation. I don't know, yeah, possible.
So, Aramakana Udhukarana,
he cried because he can't
see.
All the other planes are fine.
Lord Buddha can't see? No.
Well, he is not perceiving, he is not listening to anyone. It's like you are sleeping. Buddha comes and teaches Dhamma, goes away, you are still sleeping. Another Buddha comes, teaches Dhamma, goes away, you are still sleeping. Neither perception nor non-perception, think about it as something like you are sleeping. Sleeping, but you are awake.
That's how you're talking. You tell the same thing every day, but...
the thing you said that if you perceive something, it will cause suffering or it is suffering?
Well, whatever thing felt is included in the suffering. Whatever thing felt, you feel something, is included in the suffering.
So,
what one feel is what one perceive. Okay. What one perceive is what one apprehend. So, whatever thing felt is included in the suffering means that you actually perceive the suffering as well.
Hunger is not there.
Over there?
Yes.
They don't take food. They don't take food. I mean, it's the bad part, you know, life over here. Even the Abhasar Brahmaralam, they don't eat. They live from delight. Happiness is the food. They don't need any physical thing. Now we are talking about, you know, not they don't have a form. In that particular plane, those planes do not have a form. So there's nothing to feed. No hunger.
Is it only the human, this is the world, the last world that you get food? The animals and the human beings?
Well, all the other planes has got food.
That's the merit you pass on to them, the in Divya Loka, the...
No, Divya Loka they eat. All the six divine worlds, you know, the six divine worlds, they eat.
Okay, it's not like they live on merits.
It's a wrong perception. Mm-hmm. You actually pass merits to the divine beings. You think that the divine beings are taking merits? No, only Preta can take merits. Preta? Yes. Buddha said that one in a discourse. Mm-hmm. No one other than Preta.
But there is no point in being Akasatta Jumma.
Well, thing is actually, aunt, don't you have parties at your home? You do, right? Mm-hmm. You invite others to come and join, right?
No,
they don't have, are they coming because they don't have any food? They are coming, you are invited, right? So likewise, they are happy when people are doing good things.
Mm-hmm.
You actually, you know, please come and join the party, you know, in a way. So they are happy, so they come and they become delighted from things that you are doing. And since they are not coming because you are not inviting them. If you are not inviting, your friends also not come.
So, getting, yes. Isn't it? And
yeah.
Then,
But the recipient, only possible recipient, is that one. Others are, let's say you are giving dana at home, and you invite your friends, so they also come, maybe they are coming with curry or something, and or even if they don't come with the curry or anything, but they actually, your friends also delight, Harshan is actually giving dana, you know, it's a good thing, and having seen that you are actually doing good thing, they become happy as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are actually doing a bad thing, and then they will say, oh, Harshan is doing bad things, you know, the way the human feel, and they can't delight on that. That particular karma you have to take on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But the merits can be shared. Merit is really big, vast. So that's why merits are shared, and karma, bad karma, it's only for you.